Hi, Billy. How you doing?
Yeah, very well, Doug. Great.
Fantastic. Congrats on the success of Bitter Taste. It sounds so good on the air here.
Oh, fantastic. It's great to hear.
I was actually a little choked up when I heard it. I remember so well in February of 1990, I was watching MTV and the news came up. You'd been in an accident and it was, you were being influenced on me. And that the way they were talking at first was, man, you might not make it. No, it was hard. And listening back to the song brought back some memories for me. So it was bittersweet listening to the song, and a bitter taste for sure. So you know, it was a rough. So tell me the making of this. The pandemic obviously had a big influence on reliving some of these memories for you.
Well, yes, we actually were writing the songs kind of in May, June. 2020, and not really knowing what was going to happen with the pandemic. I mean, we all had hopes it would only be a few months and everything would kind of go back to normal, but that's not what happened.
No,
but you could feel the confusion. I had friends, I had different friends who the virus was affecting them quite radically differently. Some people were getting in as very mild, and then I had another friend who was like, he was in the emergency room almost like immediately, And he was a young guy too. He was 30 or something. So I was really going like, wow, this is, serious, And, but at the same time, when we were writing these, me and Steve and Butch Walker were kind of quarantining together. We decided we were going to do some music anyway. So it was just as well what had happened, just as well, we were planning on doing some new music. So we thought, well, let's just quarantine together. And then I thought about, well, do I really want to try and write a pandemic song? Because usually when something's going on in the world and it's affecting you, I don't know if you can always immediately put all your thoughts and feelings into a song. Sometimes I need time for it to kind of go in, marinate.
Sure.
In my being, and then come in, then it comes out very naturally too, and it usually comes out really, really, not even thinking about it. But I thought to myself, well, people are going through a hell of a time, and they it's possible that our lives are going to change after this. We have to think about how they're going to change, or how we're going to, if we're going to accept that or whatever. And a confusing, worrying time, and it's something that we had to overcome. And I thought, well, what can I write about that, was the time in my life when some of those factors were true, And I thought about the motorcycle accident, because that really was, it was a horrible experience. And I'd done it to myself. I was high riding the motorcycle, which I never do anymore, And I was a bit of a drug addict in my daily life. And so a lot of things, I nearly lost my leg, and, I didn't want to do that. It's just, it's all kind of my fault. And I had to really think about my life. And so after the motorcycle accident, I gradually did change how I lived to a certain extent. A little bit of me did get left on the side of the road, maybe a little bit of the wild side, but I think that's not a bad thing. I needed to get control of myself. I'd actually come out to Los Angeles initially in 87, to kind of, get hold of myself, to clean up and stuff. And I totally sabotaged that. Well, here was my chance. And that's kind of what I did. Gradually over the next 10 years, I gradually got control, some sort of discipline. The AA people will tell you there's no control, and they're right. But you can develop a kind of a discipline so that when you are out in public, you're not kind of, you can go back to having a couple of drinks.
Sure.
At a restaurant and things like that. So, a time when I had to overcome something dramatic in my life that was going to be life-changing. So I wrote about the motorcycle accident, and I was just hoping that would give something that people could identify with. But it wasn't directly about the pandemic.
Well, I tell you what, Julie and I, when we listened to it together, we both stood silent through the entire song. And we just looked at each other like, wow, you definitely struck a great chord. It's just amazing. And now the EP is coming out too on Friday, which is called The Roadside. Are there other songs in this vein? Can you talk about the rest of the EP?
Not necessarily. the bitter taste is in particular about the motorcycle accident, but the other tracks aren't necessarily, but there again, we will be playing them on the road. So
cool. Yes.
There's always that connection, you know, but well, Rita Hayworth is a fun song. I mean, it was kind of it's a fun song, but at the same time, it is a little bit about Hollywood and about, you know, ladies coming to Hollywood and trying to make it as an actress or whatever, mm-hmm. But also running into the sort of abuse that happens, can happen. And so it is a little bit of a support for like Time's Up and Me Too, you know, and at the same time, it's a fun song, you know, it's upbeat. You don't have to kiss me like that, but if you do, it's all right. I mean, we just thought the next two songs, I thought they should be fun. You know, let's write just a couple. Let's have fun, because with the pandemic going on, you just know people need release, really. And so the next two songs are really just kind of fun. I mean, You Don't Have to Kiss Me is a really old school Billy Idol.
Cool.
And Baby Put Your Clothes Back On is just right in the kind of alternative to the usual Billy Idol song, which is I'll Rip Your Clothes Off With My Teeth. But I was thinking about, you know, what about if you have a girlfriend or a friend, you know, that, and you're in love with them in a way, but you're in love with the friendship, and then you do have sexual desires, but you decide, you know, you could go there, but would it destroy the friendship? And
sure.
So yeah, it's a bit of a, it's a bit more of a lighter subject and everything, but they're fun songs. And I think it's an eclectic EP, and there's something different about each song. And we always did that with Billy Idol albums anyway. There's always slightly, it's not just a one note album mm-hmm. or one note EP, you know?
Sure. Well, I got to thank you for the music over the years too. You know, I was a 12-year-old kid, and I went into living in the Midwest, I went into our local hairdresser with a picture of Billy Idol. And I said, I want my hair like this. And she looked at me, she cut it. It didn't quite look like that, but I tried. But I do appreciate everything you've done for the industry. And you were a huge influence on me getting into music. It was Billy Idol and Joan Jett back in the day. You were my idols. And and I appreciate it so much. And congrats again on the success of the song. I'm so happy for you. It really is just some of the best work you've done. It's such an emotional, beautiful song. And can't wait for the EP on Friday.
Fantastic. Thank you, Doug. I mean, it's great making it, and great to be sort of still making music that you're sort of I'm excited about and happy about and proud of at this stage in the game, 45 years later. You know, it's pretty exciting.
It is. It's amazing. Billy, I know you got a tight schedule. We'll let you go. Thank you again so much. Have yourself a great day and have a great tour.
All right. Thank you, everybody at KVNA FM. All right.
Thank you, Billy.